Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Let me encourage you, if you will take your New Testament, go to the epistle to those at Colossae, the Colossian letter. I want us to key in on a couple of verses in the third chapter, chapter 3 of Colossians. I feel, and I don't know why this is, and I would love to be proven wrong one day, but it seems that out of all the Pauline epistles, or the epistles that Paul wrote, to me it seems that Colossians, by and large, is overlooked. In Galatians, we teach a lot, and Ephesians, we love Philippians. Paul, you know, it's just he was in prison when he wrote Philippians, and it's just oozing with hope and with joy. Yet there are so many lessons we can learn from Colossians. And so I'm afraid sometimes we don't mean to overlook it. Sometimes I think it just happens. We go from one book there to the next. We learn in chapter 1 and verse 1, your proof of apostleship is Paul. Paul wrote it. He claims to be an apostle by inspiration, by the will of our God. And Timotheus, or Timothy is his name, Timothy is there with him as Paul pens this letter. And then he addresses it to the church, the brethren which are at Colossae. He does a standard New Testament epistle greeting, grace and peace be unto you. And then he jumps right into his lesson. What I find interesting about the letter to the Colossians is it's really not just the letter to the Colossians. It was also meant for another church. Not that the other letters were not circulated, because they were. We know that the Roman letter was circulated. We know that 1st, 2nd Corinthians. What I find interesting, flip over to Colossians 2. We'll wind up in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 2, Paul specifically gives instructions. After you have read this letter, I want you to pass it on to somebody else. Notice, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen me in the flesh. Colossae was very close, geographically speaking, to the church at Laodicea. Now, we're reminded of them in Revelation chapter 3, right? Revelation 2 and 3, there are seven letters to the churches of Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Laodicea is the one we like to teach. Not that they were good, because they weren't good, but they were lukewarm. Revelation 3 and verse 17, because they were lukewarm, they weren't hot, they weren't cold. God said, I'm literally going to spew you out of my mouth. Well, they had a lot of things akin to the church at Colossae. They were often sister areas. And so the church, the letter to Colossians, to those at Colossae, the Colossian letter was also to be sent to those at Laodicea. Go to chapter 4. I'll show you this again. Then we'll wind up chapter 3 where we're going. Notice here, beginning in verse, if you will, well, you really can start in verse 9. With Onesimus, Paul starts listing those that he either is with him or those that the church at Colossae would know. Onesimus, now we know him from the Philemon letter, or Philemon, however you want to pronounce that. Notice Aristarchus, verse 10, we learn about him in Acts chapter 19. He's a fellow prisoner. Marcus, that's Mark. Mark is there, sister son to Barnabas. That's the Barnabas from Acts chapter 4, the son of encouragement. Justus is there, a man named Jesus in verse 11. Verse 12, Epaphras is a man there that we read about in the Philemon letter. Notice here, also those that are in Laodicea, verse 13, Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, Demas is with him. Demas would go on to depart Paul. He's there at this time. Once again, salute the brethren that are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and verse 16, send this to the church at Laodicea. Send this to the church at Laodicea. So I find it interesting. This tells us that we can learn from this letter too, can't we? I want us to key in chapter 3. I want us to look at verses 14, 15, and 16. And I want us to think about being thankful. We said last week, and rightly so, that we should not just be thankful the week of Thanksgiving. We should be thankful every day that the good Lord allows you and I to hopefully get a good night's rest or at least sleep, and we wake up, we see a new day dawning. God's promises are new every morning, Lamentations 3:22-23. When we put our feet on the floor, we should be thankful. I want us to find five things we should be thankful for in verses 14, 15, and 16. Number one, I am thankful for mature love, verse 14. And above all these things, now he's just talked about in verse 12, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-bearing, or long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. So you need to do all these things. And above all, he says, put on purity or love, which is in the bond of perfectness. It is complete. Now, the way I read that, and I hope you do as well, that's why I said mature love. He didn't say you just start out with a love, but if it has gone on to the bond of perfectness, this is a love that has grown. You know, you meet somebody, maybe you meet the person that you're going to wind up spending the rest of your life with, and you love them right away, and you know you do. But then you meet these couples who have been married 40, 50, 60, even some 70, and they'll tell you they love their spouse now more than they did when they first. That is a mature love. You love your kids from the day they're born, but you continue and that love grows. You love your coworkers, maybe. You love your church family, and the longer your family, that love grows. I am thankful for mature love, because that means that people that have a mature love relationship, they've spent a lot of time together.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Number two, I am thankful for the peace of God. Notice here the first part of verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Isn't it wonderful to have peace? So many people in the world, they don't have peace. They don't rest well. They're always on nerve. Just nothing settles them. And more times than not, these people are ones that aren't Christians. Or if they are Christians, they're not faithful Christians. I appreciate that prayer, Brother Allen. You're right. The world is crazy. There's a lot of conflict here in the States. There's a lot of conflict the world over. You can read all about it in the newspaper, hear it on the news, or you just turn off like I do. It's going to happen whether I listen or not. But I tell you what, I'm thankful for peace because I know that ultimately this is my Father's world and He is in control. And like Paul says, those in Philippi have the peace that passes all understanding. So number two, I am thankful for the peace of God. Keep going in verse 15. Number three, I'm thankful for church unity. To the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's our lesson title, Be Ye Thankful. I'm thankful for church unity. How do I see that in that verse, you ask? There is one body. By definition, if there is one body, that means unity. Now, there are many different congregations in the Lord's body. We know that. Just on our street, there are two. There are seven churches, but two actual churches. Central's at one end. We bookend it on the other. Some 45 congregations in Warren County, 20-something in Cannon, and I forget all the others. But we live in a good part of the world where the Lord's church thrives. But we also have a church unity with churches in Kentucky that teach the truth. Churches in New York that teach the truth. I went to one. Had to find it, but I went to one. There's churches all over the country. There's churches all over the world where they teach the cross and Christ crucified. And you can walk right in and they do things the same way we do here. Because we do things the Bible way. That's what God calls us to do. So I'm thankful for church unity. I'm thankful that He left us a plan so we can be unified. Number four, I'm thankful for the Word of God itself. Look here in verse 16, the first part. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I am thankful for God's Word, and I hope you are as well. And I really hope, now this is on you, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I wouldn't dare do that. But I hope that you have picked up your Bible and at least looked at it and read and studied since the last time we all met together. I really hope that you have a couple of times. I'm so thankful that we have God's Word. That you don't have to just rely upon what's said from the pulpit. In fact, you shouldn't. You should take that as a springboard to go back and check it. Make sure what we say is there. That's what you should do with the Bible class teachers. With the bulletin articles that you read. Or other periodicals you may get. I'm thankful for the Word of God, because then I can read and I can know what God expects of me as a husband, as a son, as a Christian. I can know these things because I have His Word. But number five, I am thankful for gospel singing. Keep out and finish verse 16. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I'm thankful for gospel singing. Teaching and admonishing one another. It is just amazing to me what Bible lessons you can learn from the songs in our songbooks. And how many lines. Now I realize that a majority of the songs in our songbooks are written by men. I get that. Some are direct lifts from Scripture. They just quote it and put music to it. But the ones that are written by man, most of them teach a pretty good message. Some I might question. But by and large, you can just learn so many things about God's Word, about Old Testament stories. We read, out of Egypt I have traveled with its earthly treasure. That's talking about leaving Egypt. That's Exodus. You learn all these things, teaching and admonishing. Admonishing. Sometimes we need to admonish one another. And that's why we sing an invitation song, Careless Soul, Why Do You Linger? That's an admonition. I will hasten to Him. I am resolved. Sometimes we have to admonish. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Those are admonitions. They're encouragement for somebody to respond to the Lord's invitation. But notice He says to one another. I don't just sing to myself. We sing and we teach and admonish one another as we sing praises to God. That means, since I am singing one with another, I can't be playing my guitar. I can't be beating on a piano. I can't play the bongos, whatever instrument. I can't do that because He says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I'm supposed to, as the idea is, pluck my vocal cords, not some guitar strings. So I'm thankful that God told me how He wants me to praise Him, and I don't have to wonder. I'm thankful for gospel singing. I'm thankful for the Word of God, for church unity, for the peace of God, and I'm thankful for mature love. I hope you're thankful as well, and I hope you continue to show an attitude of gratitude, as it were. And as you study God's Word, you'll realize that there are certain things you must do if you want to be pleasing to Him, and if you want to have an eternal home with Him in heaven. And that's becoming a Christian. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, go down that water grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that, we're going to sing a song to encourage you to respond to the Lord's invitation. Why not do so? If you are a Christian, we encourage you to remain faithful to the very end, knowing that's when you receive that crown of life and not a moment before. If you've not been faithful, if you've strayed away, you need to repent of those sins and be restored. And we're also going to sing a song to encourage you to do that. If we can help you in any way at all, whatever that need may be, we humbly ask you, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. In Deuteronomy 6, concerning the commandment to love God with all of our being, verse 7 instructed this command to be taught diligently. Some time back, I was reading an article that mentioned the promises of God from every book of the Bible. For example, from Ezra 8, verse 22, listen to this portion. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. Beautiful! The hand of the Lord upon one? Now, Matthew 6, 33 reminds us, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Would we say, then, that there is nothing more important than seeking God? Kind friends, are you seeking first His kingdom? Is God first? Let's think on these things and visit us at internationalgospelhour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Friends, you see it and I see it in children, grandchildren, or all my children through my travels at the congregations I visit. You turn one day and look, and it's like all of a sudden, one grows 3 inches in height. I have a young friend who used to walk in my office at the church building. She could barely look over my book prop. Now she is not far from being eye to eye with me. We look and say, "Whoa, where has time gone?" Friend, How well are you growing spiritually? Are you pursuing the knowledge that only God's Word gives? Remember, His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119:105. Let's grow. Visit us at InternationalGospelHour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a good day.